Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday, April 14th. MISD says N to Grant risks $60 million loss. District nearing fiscal cliff as transitional aid is set to expire at end of 2023-24 school year. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Not much has changed as far as the fiscal cliff that threatens Midland ISD. Midland ISD still receives transition grant funding from the state. That amount was projected to be $61.6 million this school year and more than $62 million in both the 2022-23 and 2023-24 school year. The funding is connected with the comprehensive school finance legislation passed in the 2019 Texas legislative session. That legislation helped lower or compress property tax rates in districts across the state. However, less money coming into state coffers couldn't mean less money going back to districts immediately, so House Bill 3 included a mechanism designed to provide a source of temporary transition aid to school districts and charter schools that receive less than a threshold amount of state and local funding under House Bill 3. To examine why the term fiscal cliff might be used by district officials, one should look at the percent of the transition funding compared to the total maintenance and operations expenditures. The proposed Midland ISD budget for the 2022-23 school year calls for a total expenditures of $431 million. That includes a $148 million recapture payment, money sent to the state as part of the so-called Robin Hood school finance system, to be distributed to poorer school districts. Take out the recapture money, and Midland ISD is looking at $282 million in leftover expenditures. The estimated $62 million in transition grant fund pays about 22% of the expenditures remaining. Those estimated expenditures included $3.3 million for campuses, $42.6 million for departments, $36 million for partnerships, $190 million for salaries and benefits, and $10.5 million for the Teacher Retirement System of Texas. Again, the formula transition grant mechanism expires at the end of the 2023-24 school year, so that revenue line item will go from more than $62 million to zero. Quote, "That's a pretty good chunk of your budget you just can't cut off," Superintendent Angelica Ramsey said. Ramsey and Chief Financial Officer Daryl Dodds said Midland ISD is not just a recipient, but the largest recipient of transition grant funding in the state, budgeted to receive 15% of all the money the state has set aside. Ramsey called it gap funding for all districts. Quote, "There were winners and losers when it came to the new funding formula," Ramsey said. "Midland ISD was a loser," end quote. The reason was the potential hole that the district faces. At this point, there isn't much that the district can do except let those within the district know that the district is closer to the so-called cliff. Ramsey and Dodds have recommended those interested in education in the community talk to their representatives ahead of the 2023 legislative session and ask them to keep as much of that transition grant money available to school districts in need. The impact in Midland arguably was as much as anywhere else in the state because of the higher values here plus the lower tax rate. Other districts have increased tax rates through tax ratification elections, which eliminated the need for a transition grant, Dodd and Ramsey said. What will MISD do? Nearly 2 years of the 5-year transitional period are completed. The fiscal cliff approaches. Blong set to run for District 4 re-election. Councilwoman says city no longer settles for region's exploitation. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Midland City Councilwoman Lori Blong will run for re-election in District 4. Blong represents an area that includes West Midland. District 4 is one of 3 city elections scheduled to take place in November. Mayor and District 3 are the others. Blong wrote in an email to the Reporter-Telegram that her first term had plenty to learn from, including a global pandemic, record low oil prices, nearly record high oil prices, Chinese communist protests, race conflicts, and public demonstrations. Quote, "The past 2-plus years of my term have been full of lessons that have taught me how to serve more effectively, full of situations our community never anticipated we would face, and full appreciation for the work that goes into making positive changes here in Midland, step by step," Blong wrote. "We have lifted our voices, listened to one another, sought wisdom, and navigated more than I could ever have anticipated when I first decided to run for city council in 2019. End quote. Blong has helped lead the effort to create the Midland Quality of Place Conservancy, which will oversee the $55 million upgrade to Hogan Park in Northeast Midland. Nurse Midwife Center puts emphasis on empowerment. Luoma's own experiences inspire her to help Midland's moms-to-be. The story was written by J.C. Lewis. After a late evening at her daughter's swim meet, Courtney Luoma woke up Wednesday morning to get to the hospital at 4:30 a.m. to attend to a birth as a nurse midwife. After finishing with the delivery, she met her husband, Nathan, at Higher Grounds Coffee for a coffee and breakfast, then went to the Midland Women's Clinic to catch a quick 30-minute nap before seeing patients and working on charts. She had lunch at the hospital, then discharged the patient admitted to the hospital the day before. This is a pretty typical chain of events for the 35-year-old mother who is working to open a birth center in Midland. Quote, "Midwifery is the original women's health care," she said. "Midwifery is the mother of modern obstetrics. The word midwife means to be with woman. The whole model is focused around connection and empowerment for women and respect for women and their autonomy of their own body. We like to blend our care with the medical model and do things that are medically necessary," end quote. Luoma first came to Midland in 2005 from Oklahoma to play college basketball for Midland College, where she earned her associate's degree. She then went to the University of Central Oklahoma, where she started nursing school. A year into the program, she married to her husband, who was moving overseas to Scotland for ConocoPhillips. Quote, "I decided to put nursing on hold at that point and moved to Scotland with him for a year and a half," she said. "We were supposed to come back to Houston during the 2008-09 downturn. We were told he either needed to go back to Midland or leave the company," end quote. When she moved back to Midland, Luoma finished her nursing degree from Texas Tech University. Quote, "We were like most young Midlanders who don't plan to stay here for more than 3 to 5 years, but my husband kept getting really good job opportunities. He currently works at Diamondback as an engineer," she said. "Midland has just become our home, and we stopped fighting it about 10 years ago," end quote. Luoma has given birth to 2 children while living in Midland, and those experiences caused her to think about midwifery. Quote, "What drove me to pursue midwifery was being pregnant with my first child and wanting to use a nurse midwife in the hospital was my goal," she said. "We didn't have that option here, and I thought, Midland is so big, so why isn't it an option? End quote. At that point, she thought that midwifery would be something she was interested in career-wise, but she was working as an intensive care nurse and also enjoyed that work, she said. Luoma did use licensed midwives for the birth of her two children. After the birth of her son, she decided she wanted to be in women's health in some capacity, so Luoma opened Nurture Me Birth Services with a friend, bringing doulas to Midland, she said. A doula is a trained professional who provides continuous physical, emotional, and informational support to a mother before, during, and shortly after childbirth, according to Donna International. Quote, "We broke into the field of natural childbirth," she said. "We started offering natural birth classes, doula services in the hospital, and created a support network for women wanting a natural birth in our community," end quote. Luoma went to school to become a midwife about 4 years ago, attending Texas Tech University to receive a master's in nursing. The degree took 3 years, with a year of didactic training, then clinical training. She moved to Weslaco to train at Holy Family Birth Center for 8 months. Quote, "It was really hard, but there were no nurse midwives in Midland, and I was required to have so many hours of training with a nurse midwife," she said. "To be able to break into the field here, I had to leave and bring it back to Midland," end quote. Luoma is a certified nurse midwife with the Midland Women's Clinic. She works closely with Dr. Ben Doak, as well as performing hospital deliveries at Midland Memorial Hospital. She has worked as a registered nurse, certified doula, and childbirth educator. Quote, "I see women who want all kinds of deliveries," she said. "Some women want epidermals but still want the midwifery, mothering, connective prenatal care. Then I see women who want the total natural delivery, basically a home birth in the hospital. I see the full spectrum of patients. I also do general women's health care like gynecological care, pap smears, and more," end quote. During her time as a midwife and doula, she has delivered 250 babies. She has helped women have natural births, medicated birth, and C-sections as a first assistant in surgery. Her space in the Midland Women's Clinic is unique to her and her work. Quote, "We converted Dr. Doak's office into a clinic room, which is our shared office, but it's not clinical looking because we have plants in there, a bookshelf with birthing books, educational materials, and a comfy chair," she said. "I wanted to try to recreate midwifery in the way that I could, and it's our small start." The birth center where she had her children in Midland closed in 2015. Quote, "I had a seed in my head," she said. "I wanted to start the next birth center, but I didn't know when that would happen due to experience and training. With Dr. Doak's support and urging, said that it was time to start the birth center," end quote. Plans for the birth center were to be built on Michigan across from the hospital in an 18-month time frame. However, the demand for a faster opening has increased. She and Laura Smith, the birth center's director of business operations, have found a space to lease about 3 minutes away from the hospital. Quote, "The 5-year lease will give us a chance to get things off the ground," Luoma said. "We won $100,000 in the Midland Entrepreneurial Challenge, which will be used to furnish the birth center and get things going," end quote. Luoma specifically sees low-risk pregnant women. Quote, "A woman who has type 1 diabetes or uncontrolled blood pressure or other chronic conditions wouldn't be considered for midwifery care," she said. "Midwives are really good at caring for normal birth, and we're really good at knowing what normal is. We want women to follow their body and design during delivery. It's a different type of birth than maybe people think about birth in a typical hospital setting," end quote. She said the birth center will provide for women who don't want a hospital or home birth. Midland has home birth midwives and nurse midwives like Luoma who also work at the hospital. Quote, "The beauty of having all three levels of midwifery care is that women can choose between home birth, birth center, and hospital, and a woman can have the level of care that's appropriate for their clinical status," she said. "A birth center is a middle ground, the best of both worlds of home birth and hospital. It's a true birth facility that gives a home birth experience, but in a place with protocols, close access to the hospital, collaboration, and consultation with the hospital when needed, and I have hospital privileges," end quote. There will be certain situations and factors that can be managed in the hospital, but not at the birth center or in a home birth setting. Quote, "The birth center will have everything the hospital has except for a NICU. We don't do C-sections or epidermals," she said. "We will have everything else to handle emergencies, including nurses and midwives at the delivery," end quote. Luoma says she is expecting the leased birth center to open within 6 months. She added that she couldn't have come this far without the help of Smith, who Luoma first knew after helping deliver her first two children as a doula and last child as Smith's midwife. Quote, "We have a really special connection," Luoma said. She heard that I wanted to open a birth center about 2 years ago and reached out to tell me that she thought it was a much-needed service in Midland. Smith has kept the train on the tracks and pushed me along because of my working schedule. It is hard to have any 8-to-5 schedule, but she is my 8-to-5 person who does everything business-related, which allows me to provide midwifery services," end quote. Smith has a degree in finance and was a controller at Dell Computers. Luoma says Smith has a lot of experience where she lacks in experience. Without Smith, there was no way Luoma could partake in the Midland Entrepreneurial Challenge due to time and energy. "The birth center will be a place where women are supported in their births," Luoma said. She plans to take on 10 births a month when the center opens. Quote, "What I want for women is I want women to make their own decisions and not feel coerced," Luoma said. "I want women to feel heard and supported. Whatever gives them their best birth, that's what I want," end quote.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, April 14th, 2022. Community calendar. City's Easter Egg Extravaganza. The 7th annual Easter Egg Extravaganza will take place Thursday at the MLK Junior Community Center. Kids 12 years old and younger are invited to participate in the egg hunt. The event will start at 4 p.m. with the Negro Professional Business Women's Club giving away hot dogs. $5 pictures with the Easter Bunny are slated to be from 5 to 7 p.m. The proceeds will benefit the Midland Municipal Employee Scholarship Fund, according to the city spokesperson. And finally, the egg hunt will start at 6 p.m. with the youngest group. Bicycles have been donated and will be given away within each age group. Egg hunt age groups: 3 years and under, 4 to 5 years, 6 to 8 years, 9 to 10 years, 11 to 12 years. Solid waste schedule. There will be no trash pickup on Friday in observation of Good Friday. Also, the Citizens Collections Station and landfill will be closed, according to the city. Events. Authors at the Ector. Kathy Valentine, The Go-Go's, 7 p.m. Thursday at the Ector Theater. Midland Market Spring Spectacular, Friday and Saturday at the Horseshoe. Daddy's Dyin', Who's Got the Will, by the Mavericks Players, 7:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday at 409 Veterans Air Park Lane. Call 432-260-0044 for reservations. Third Saturdays in the Garden, 10 a.m. Saturday at the West Texas Food Bank. Easter Egg Hunt, 11 a.m. Saturday at Lions Club Park. Aladdin and the Magic Carpet, 7:30 p.m. Saturday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Midland's Largest Easter Egg Hunt, 2:30 p.m. Sunday at 100 North Colorado. 2022 State of Midland, 11 a.m. April 20th at the Horseshoe. Foreigner, 8 p.m. April 20th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. 9th Annual Bustin' for Badges Clay Shoot Fundraiser, April 21st and 22nd at Windwalker Farms Sporting Clays. Taste of the Permian Basin, 6:30 p.m. April 21st at the Horseshoe Pavilion. Casey Donahue and Jana Kramer, 7:30 p.m. at the Schaap Center at Midland College, part of the Phyllis and Bob Cowan Performing Arts Series. Golf for the Green, 7:30 a.m. April 22nd at Nueva Vista Golf Course. Downtown Art Tour, 6 p.m. April 22nd at the Odessa Marriott. Jerry Hart and Flatland, 7 p.m. April 22nd at the Destination Midland. The Bachelor Live on Stage Official Tour, 7:30 p.m. April 22nd at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Share Autism Walk, 9:30 a.m. April 23rd at Grande Communications Stadium. Where the Wild Things Run, 5K Beer Run, 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. April 23rd at the Sibley Nature Center. The Midland Community Band's Spring Concert, 7 p.m. at the Wagner and Brown Auditorium in the Allison Fine Arts Building on the Midland College campus. Northside Lions Club 29th Annual We Serve Breakfast, 7 to 10 a.m. April 30th at Midland Park Mall. Go-Go's member to talk about her new rock and roll memoir in Odessa by J.C. Lewis. Musician Kathy Valentine will be visiting Odessa to talk about her rock and roll memoir Thursday at the Ector Theater. The third installment of the Authors at the Ector series will begin at 7 p.m. with a book signing to follow the speaking event. Valentine is the Go-Go's bassist and has maintained a career in music through songwriting, recording, performing, and touring while balancing other academic and creative pursuits. She was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in October 2021 as a member of the Go-Go's. Originally from Austin, she started performing in 1978 after moving to Los Angeles. Her memoir, titled All I Ever Wanted, is a story of sex, drugs, and music intersecting with finding success and finding herself. The book synopsis states, at 21, Kathy Valentine was at the Whiskey in Los Angeles when she met a guitarist from a fledgling band called the Go-Go's, and the band needed a bassist. The Go-Go's became the first multi-platinum-selling all-female band to play instruments themselves, write their own songs, and have a number one album. Their debut, Beauty and the Beat spent 6 weeks at the top of the Billboard 200 and featured the hit songs We Got the Beat and Our Lips Are Sealed. The record's success brought the pressures of a relentless workload and schedule, culminating in a wild, hazy, substance-fueled tour that took the band from the club circuit to arenas, where fans, promoters, and crew were more than ready to keep the party going. Tickets are $10 for students, $20 for Odessa Darts members, and $25 for Odessa Arts non-members. Tickets can be purchased at https://www.ticketfairy.com/event/authors-at-the-Ector-Kathy-Valentine-14APR2022/. MFB to present new ballet this weekend by J.C. Lewis. The Midland Festival Ballet, MFB, will perform Aladdin and the Magic Carpet, a brand new ballet, the first full-length ballet the local nonprofit pre-professional company has produced. It is a mesmerizing explosion of movement, light, and color, unlike anything MFB has performed before, according to MFB. The newly created score, flying dancers, digitally projected backdrops, and live orchestral accompaniment, in addition to new choreography, have made it the largest collaborative project the company has ever undertaken. The performance will be Saturday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Tickets are on sale now at MidlandFestivalBallet.org. MFB dancers will be accompanied musically by the Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale, now the West Texas Symphony, conducted by Ramona Ponsigrau. Choreography by Jill Ethorn Barr. Music compiled, arranged, and edited by Ponsigrau. Lighting designed by Jared Sayeg. Production design by Justin Locke. The production has been underwritten by the FMH Foundation with additional support from the Arts Council of Midland, Bryant Family Foundation, Wayne and Joanne Moore Charitable Foundation, Odessa Arts, Permian Basin Area Foundation, the Ray Charitable Trust, and the Texas Commission on the Arts. The project was also supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts. The special effects for the production were underwritten by the Katie and Paul Morrow family. Theater group to end show's run Saturday. Maverick Players end a 2-week run of Daddy's Dyin' Who's Got the Will this weekend at VFW Hall, 409 Veterans Air Park Lane. Shows are planned for Friday and Saturday. Curtain time is 7:30 p.m. All tickets are $10. The Mavericks offered the following as a production description. The title of the play is the plot, or at least part of it. The colorful members of the Turnover family are returning to the farm near Lowaki, Texas, for a sad reunion. Buford, Daddy Turnover, is dying. His 4 children are reunited for the first time in years. Lurline Turnover Rogers, a preacher's wife, Sarah Lee Turnover, a hairdresser and family caregiver, Orville Turnover, a mean sanitation engineer, and Evelita Turnover, the youngest child with a colorful past and present. The Turnovers each come with a mixture of grief, greed, and memories of bad times years ago. The show is funny, but there may be a tear or two. There is some isolated cussing, but Mama Wheeles tries her best to shut that down. Call 432-260-0044 for reservations. Cast. Buford, Marvin LeMaster, Jesse Grimes, Sarah Lee, Diane Brown, Lurline, Dida Isbell, Orville, Chris Carroll, Marlene, Christy Phillips, Evelita, Erica Reagan, Harmony, Keith Becker, Mama Huilas, Sarah Anderson, Stage Manager, Jerry Morgan, Director, Mary Lou Cassidy. Tickets to Thriving United's Easter Service and Brunch sell out. Thriving United's Easter Service and Brunch, called Easter Brunch at Midland's Longest Table, has been called a sellout. The first-time event, which is scheduled for Sunday, is full, and organizers are thrilled at the response. We can't believe how fast the community reserved their tickets to this event, Ty Johnson, Community Outreach Director for Thriving United. It is not only exciting, but confirms something we already knew. The community has one spirit. Thriving United created the event with an eye toward bringing the community together, neighbors next to neighbors at the same table in fellowship and friendship to celebrate Easter. After 2 years of a pandemic and the community and family challenges it created, we felt strongly that it was time to bring the community together in a way that has never been done before, Johnson wrote. Every person of any age or walk of life is invited to break bread with their friends and neighbors to celebrate the joy of the season. The event will include a free brunch, Easter service, and Midland's largest Easter egg hunt. The event will include Easter brunch at tables spanning a city block in downtown Midland, Easter service, and Midland's largest Easter egg hunt with more than 6,000 Easter eggs, done in a very unique way. What is Thriving United? Its mission is to meet people where they are, to connect them to recovery, and to join them on their journey. Thriving United uses evidence-based practices to provide peer support programs, building a forum for service work, providing peer supportive recovery residences, providing opportunities to build trusting relationships, and bridging the gap between people and services by making connections with partners within our community. Online, www.thrivingunited.org.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, April 14th. Haley Chapman, age 38, of Midland, passed away on Sunday, April 10th. The family will receive friends on Thursday, April 14th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the branch at NPW. Celebration of Life will be held on Friday, April 15th at 1 p.m. at True Light Christian Fellowship, with burials follow at Rest Haven Cemetery in Midland. Haley Ann Chapman was born in Midland on January 30th, 1984, to her parents David and Pam Corbett. Haley is survived by her husband Josh, children Cooper, Whitley, and Sawyer, parents David and Pam Corbett of Midland, Dean and Terry Gaines of Midland, Wayne and Suzanne Chapman of La Mesa, beloved sister and best friend Mackenzie Heusinger and husband Josh, children Carter and Quinn of Midland, sisters-in-law Misty and Seneca Knight and family and kids of Midland, Mandy and Trent Lee and their four girls, and brother-in-law Jordan and Abby Chapman, grandparents Tom McKean, Mary Beth Corbett, Melba and Jim Rush. Haley is preceded in death by her grandparents, Lavetta McCain, Johnny and Glenda Chapman, and uncle Jeff Sudeth. The family suggests memorial donations may be made to the Howard County 4-H Club, Boys and Girls Club of Midland and Odessa. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. John Philip Snyder, age 97, of Midland, passed away on Monday, April 4th. His family will receive friends on Sunday, April 17th, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Graveside services will be held on Monday, April 18th, at 11 a.m. at Fairview Cemetery in Midland. The son of Luella May Hart and Eldon Kingdon Snyder, John was born August 7, 1924, in Longdale, Oklahoma. The Snyder family lived in Spearman, Texas, before moving to Lubbock so that John could attend Texas Technological College. After a year of college, John was drafted into the United States Navy to serve during World War II. After the war, John returned to Texas Tech and completed his engineering degree. It was at Tech that he met his fraternity brother's date, the beautiful Marjorie Jo Morgan, at a dance. John and Marjorie later married on June 19, 1948, and soon after he began his career with the aerospace and defense contractor Hughes Aircraft Company, living most of his working career in California. John retired from Hughes in 1975, but then worked for ITT for several years after. He finally pulled the plug on his working life in 1982. John and Marjorie lived and raised their family in Van Nuys, California, beginning their travels in 1983. They bought a fifth wheel and hit the road. They traveled all over the United States with lengthy visits with their children and grandchildren. After several years of RV travel, they set up home base in Midland, Texas in 1989. Marjorie died unexpectedly soon after in 1990. John lived proudly and independently for all of his years. John is survived by his four children, Kathy Murphy, Donna Guziak, Carla Townsend, and James Snyder, as well as seven grandchildren, 16 great-grandchildren, and two great-great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents, Luella Eldon Snyder, his wife Marjorie, and two sisters, Patricia and Marilyn. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Carol Miller, age 85, of Midland, passed away on April 11th. Memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. Tuesday, April 19th, at St. Anne's Catholic Church. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. James Griffin Jr., age 77, of Midland, passed away Tuesday, April 12th. Viewing will be Friday, April 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. A funeral is set for Saturday, April 23rd at 11 a.m. at Visionary Hollowell Community United Methodist Church at 400 South Marshall Street. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Garden. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Theodore Charles May, best known as Ted or Teddy, died suddenly on April 10th in Odessa. Family and friends are welcome to gather for visitation on Thursday, April 14th, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., Friday, April 15th, at 10 a.m. at Iglesias del Dios Vivo at 6841 West Dunn Street in Odessa. In New Jersey, family and friends are welcome to gather for visitation on Tuesday, April 19th, from 3 to 8 p.m. at Cusack Funeral Home in Somerville, New Jersey. A funeral service will be held on Wednesday, April 20th at 10 a.m. at the funeral home in Somerville, New Jersey. A gathering will begin at 9 a.m. Interment with military honors will follow at New Cemetery in Somerville. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home in Midland.
Hello, this is Kim. I am reading The Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, April 14th, 2022. Odessa Mayor Javier Hoven told city council members he believes a recent Texas Second Court of Appeals decision to classify 8-liner gaming machines lotteries could allow the Odessa Police Department to seize the machines, which he believes are destroying lives. For the past several months, attorneys with the city and Ector County have been working to tighten up ordinances pertaining to game rooms because of an uptick in crime activity near the businesses. The proposed ordinances address everything from location to hours to appearance. As of Monday, there were 26 game rooms in operation within the city limits of Odessa, 12 of which didn't exist 2 years ago. During a discussion on the city's ordinance at Tuesday night's council meeting, Hoven told council members the Texas Second Court of Appeals recently determined the 8-liner machines are lotteries and therefore unconstitutional, regardless of existing rules that consider them no different than the games at Chuck E. Cheese that dispense prizes valued at less than $5. Two game room owners sued the city of Fort Worth over the matter, and while it made it up to the Texas Supreme Court, the High Court sent it back down to the Texas Second Court of Appeals. A 3-judge panel issued its opinion last month. The mayor said he has spent hours on the phone since the opinion was rendered with attorneys in Orange, Hardin, and Jefferson counties, including Jefferson County District Attorney Bob Wortham. We might ask the question, could we send a letter to stop and desist and confiscate those games? And he said the only thing that will stop you is if your law enforcement would not do it. And that's every county and every municipality, Jovan said. I have yet to find one DA or U.S. attorney I have given this to that has told me anything different. I have crossed every T and dotted every I, and I think this is something we need to consider going forward because this changes the whole thing. Hoven suggested giving the game room owners 30 days to remove the 8-liner machines before confiscating and destroying the games. He said the game rooms could continue to operate if they had other types of machines, but Odessa City Attorney Natasha Brooks and Senior Assistant City Attorney Monique Wimberly said it's unclear if the game rooms have other types of machines. Everyone here within this council chamber knows what's going on, Hoven said. He personally knows of older relatives and friends who are struggling financially who have turned to the game rooms in hopes of earning extra cash and have ended up not being able to pay their bills, Hoven said. They're destroying lives, destroying families. Kids are being destroyed, he said. The thing is, we need to take action. This community is demanding for us to take action. Brooks told the council the Fort Worth game rooms intend to ask the Second Court of Appeals to rehear the matter, but with all 7 judges in attendance, they must file their motion by May 2nd, she said. Brooks also noted Odessa is within the 11th Court of Appeals out of Eastland, which hasn't addressed the 8-liner matter. She also said the Second Court of Appeals stopped short of saying the machines are illegal. Wimberly told Hoven that rather than seizing the machines, OPD could probably just take the machines, motherboards instead, and said district attorneys who have prosecuted game owners in the past could best answer that question. There haven't been any prosecutions here. I sent this opinion to the DA without a response, and so that's why I went out of the county to get an opinion, Hoven said. After the meeting, Hoven said he didn't ask Ector County District Attorney Dusty Galvin for a response because he thought it best to seek the opinions of prosecutors who have been dealing with game room issues for a while. The council ultimately decided to table the matter so they could discuss it at next week's work session. Galvin said he has not received anything from Hoven. However, he said he believes it's too premature to start seizing machines. The Second Court of Appeals decision is a great start toward shutting down game rooms, but it does not set a precedent for Ector County, Gallivan said. It's certainly helpful to move in that direction, but we're not there yet, Gallivan said. In fact, the Seventh Court of Appeals in Amarillo ruled the exact opposite from the Second Court of Appeals in 2000, and while no one took that decision up to the Texas Supreme Court, Gallivan said he believes ultimately it will be the Texas Supreme Court that will settle the matter. The Odessa City Council can do whatever it wants as far as amending its ordinances to further restrict the operations of the city's game rooms, but the city might not want to start seizing machines, Gallivan said. I'd question whether those actions would be legally enforceable at this point in time, he said. Hoven can seek all of the legal opinions he wants, but in Ector County, mine's the only one that matters. Odessa Police Chief Mike Gerke said via email he's asked the city's legal team to look into the matter. Sheriff Mike Griffiths said he is also waiting to hear from the county's attorneys. This is an issue that should not be acted upon in haste. There are a few game rooms where the activities involve more than misdemeanor crimes, and these crimes are investigated promptly, Griffiths told via email. On the financial side, Griffiths said the intake from fees and permits are not enough to employ a designated officer or officer to address game room issues. If we did, they would most likely be assigned to a patrol shift, at least temporarily, to take care of calls for service. We are 35% to 40% short on law enforcement officers now. We spend all our time responding to family violence, robberies, murders, and child abuse calls, etc., all of which take precedence, Griffiths said. The bottom line, when we are advised by our attorneys that it is within our legal purview to go to every game room and start seizing machines, we will call in all of our people and pay them overtime to conduct an operation. Following the meeting, Hoven said he personally paid an attorney who charges $600 an hour for his legal advice on game rooms, and he agreed with his interpretation of the court's opinion. There are 114,000 residences here, and the majority of them want the proliferation stopped, and that's personal to me, Hoven said. In other action, the council unanimously voted to give all full-time city employees a 4% raise plus a one-time payment of $1,750. Unanimously agreed to public artwork at Fire Station No. 6, $67,000. The new animal control shelter, $80,000, and the Lee Street building complex, $20,000. The fire station piece is stained glass. The shelter piece is a metal sculpture of a dog and a cat contained within a heart. And the Lee Street piece is a postcard-like mural with a Western theme that says, Howdy, y'all. Unanimously approved the purchase of new equipment for fire stations No. 6 and No. 9, 20 portable radios, $221,047, new bunker gear, $161,200, 8 self-contained breathing apparatus, $221,047, an air compressor, $59,000, and 6 new specially equipped Chevy Tahoes, $423,907. Students proud of Easter production. In celebration of Holy Week, middle school students from St. Mary's Central Catholic put on a play of the story of Jesus Wednesday afternoon in the school's gym. The production was called The Passion Play, depicting the life of Jesus, including his trial, suffering, and death. The performance included singing in between each scene. This year's play was the first to be put on by the middle school students at St. Mary's Central Catholic. St. Mary's Central Catholic music teacher Elaine Rudolph directed the music, while Adele Cortez and Larry Cortez also helped directing the play. We've always done it out of our church at St. Joseph's, but Elaine wanted her music class to do the same play that we've done before, Adele Cortez said. It's beautiful. I think it's really beautiful. They brought it to life and they did an awesome job. This is the first time that we've done this with all middle schoolers. Putting on a show for the first time can present its share of obstacles. For this production, one of the tough parts was getting the students all together to rehearse. The challenges were that it was new to them, so it was hard getting them all together, and that was a challenge, Cortez said. They came together and Elaine had to work it out with the teachers and letting the students come together. Cortez was glad to have the opportunity to put on this play. It's that time and it's so beautiful, and every opportunity that we get to tell the story of Jesus and bring the gospel to life, we should just take it and open the door for a great opportunity, Cortez said. Playing the role of Jesus was eighth grader Andrew Randolph. I like playing Jesus, Randolph said. It was hard to learn all of the lines and the songs, but I love serving the Lord and doing what he asks me. He also enjoyed putting the show on with his classmates. I love the music and how it brought us together and how it was fun for everyone, Randolph said. The students had been working on the play before Lent had even started, beginning practice in early February. It was an amazing play, said eighth grader Mario Evan Rubio, who played the role of Pontius Pilate. It took all of us to make it come together, and a lot of learning, lots of lines. Playing the role of Mary, Jesus' mother, was eighth grader Adeline Tinton. Other schools don't do stuff like this, Tinton said. I love how our school is different, and we do stuff like this. We made heaven and earth happy, and I'm proud that we did that today. Tinton talked about how much of a success the play turned out to be. I love how beautiful the story is, Tinton said. I think everyone did a great job in the play. They did all of their roles perfectly. I think we're honoring Jesus in many special ways. Young professionals host Bond Lunch and Learn. Urging people to vote for the 2-proposition Ector County ISD bond set for May 7th, Odessans for Education Chair Lorraine Perryman made the case that the 2 comprehensive high schools are overcrowded and unsafe, and there is a need for more career and technical facilities. Perryman said ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray spoke at a Young Professionals of Odessa Lunch and Learn at the Complex Community Federal Credit Union Operations and Training Center Wednesday. Odessa and Permian High Schools have about 4,000 students each. The new high school, which would be located on 100 acres at Faudry and Yukon Roads if the bond issue passes, would have 2,500 to 2,800 students. The district purchased the land for a little more than $2 million in 2015, Superintendent Scott Murray said most of the growth is in northeast Odessa, but the next hot spot are in south and west Odessa. Having a new high school would take some of the population pressure off OHS and PHS, Murray said. It would also provide more opportunities for students. A new career and technical education center would also allow more students to take advantage of programming. For example, Perryman said, 181 students interested in welding were turned away for next year. Murray is not allowed to advocate for the little more than $398 million bond, but can offer information about it. Perryman said board members can be involved when they are not on school property, but superintendents are considered to be on duty 24/7, so they can only provide facts. 2 surveys were conducted, one by Opportunity Odessa, a nonprofit, in October 2021, and one was by Bay Slice and Associates Incorporated in November 2021. The Bay Slice survey showed people were not willing to vote for a bond that was above $400 million, Perryman said. The 12 priorities for making Odessa a more appealing place to live, work, and prosper over the next 10 years included in the Opportunity Odessa survey were supporting ECISD, investing in existing and new amenities, invest in infrastructure, leverage the higher education assets, building up Odessa's local workforce, improve public safety, transform downtown Odessa, work with West Odessa, support the growth and development of Odessa's major healthcare assets, ensure that Odessa receives its fair share of state and federal funding, enhance the community's image, and expand the support of housing in Odessa. The top three in the survey were to invest in infrastructure, support Ector County ISD, and improve public safety. The guiding principles for the bond committee were worst is first, safe and secure facilities, 21st century learning environment, functional equity and operational efficiency, and plan for the future. Perryman said there were about $881 million in facility needs, but the bond committee narrowed it down to what was most needed for that first bite of the elephant. Mary said the district has 32,000 students, 4,200 employees, 43 schools, and 62% economically disadvantaged students. The district has about 2,000 students, and there were 38 teachers between the two high schools that float. In other words, they don't have a fixed classroom. Easy ISD is 78% Hispanic, 15% white, 4% African American, and 3% other demographic populations, Murray said. Murray pointed out that the progress made during the past 2.5 years with teacher vacancies, kindergarten readiness, high school graduation rates, and SAT scores. If the bond passes, there would be an oversight committee to make sure the funds were spent the way they were supposed to be. Bond information. Proposition A, $215,255,000